Welcome back to the Look and Sound of Leadership, an ongoing series of executive coaching tips designed to help you be perceived in the workplace the way you want to be perceived. I'm Tom Henschel, your executive coach, and today we're talking about networking conversations, part one. Pavni was thinking ahead. She was in year two of a three-year project. When the project ended, she wanted to leave her giant multinational corporation and leverage her momentum to get hired as a chief officer with a mid-sized company. She'd mentioned this during our coaching conversations, but today she'd lingered on the idea, saying, "If I'm serious about it, I have to get started. I'm probably already behind." "What's stopping you?" I asked. She rolled her eyes. "I hate networking, Tom, and it's probably how this is going to happen. It might happen through a recruiter, but I doubt it. I think it'll be somebody I know introducing me to somebody they know, which means I need to network, and I just hate it."
Because
it's so obvious," she said. "It's obvious the only reason I'm talking to them is because I want something from them. But we're both pretending that's not what's happening. Ugh, it makes me want to take a shower." I nodded, but didn't speak. She looked at me expectantly. "Aren't you going to help me out here? You usually have some helpful idea." "Well," I said, "I have a saying about networking. It addresses that icky feeling you're talking about. Plant, don't hunt." It means when you're networking with someone, don't focus on your immediate need. Plant a seed. Planting is a long game. Don't target someone and go after them. She looked a little embarrassed. "I think I'd been guilty of that. Actually, I was on the receiving end of that recently."
"Someone put a target on you?" I asked.
She nodded. "I was at a conference and got cornered three different times. Each time it felt like a bit of an ambush, and they all just talked and talked. I tried to listen, but I just couldn't. It felt just like that, like I was a target and they were firing away."
I said, "I call that monologuing. It happens all the time when people are networking. I confess, I used to do it myself, but now to me, monologuing is in direct opposition to what I think the purpose of networking is. To me, the purpose of networking is to know people, nurture a relationship. That takes time. Don't ambush people, and certainly don't monologue. Plant, don't hunt." She was slow to respond. When she did, she said, "I'm trying to imagine having the time to network that way. You have to admit, hunting is efficient."
"I agree. Time is an issue," I said. "You know, here's what I think. I think 5% of your work week every week should be spent networking. You make it part of your job. We're talking about 2 or 3 hours a week. You go to lunch once. Go to dinner once. Do some research. Write some emails. Get to know people as part of your job." She said, "And how do I justify that to my boss that I'm already looking to jump ship?" I replied, "Networking doesn't mean you're looking to jump ship. Networking is a good thing. It benefits everyone. If you expand your network, you play on a bigger stage. That's good for your company. If you get exposed to new ideas, that's good for your company. I would like to think your boss would see you networking and be grateful." She laughed at herself. "You see, I keep thinking networking is something to hide, something bad. I'm going to have to shake that." She said, "So here's a question. Let's say I invite someone to virtual coffee. Before, I would have thought the purpose was for me to put myself forward and let her know what I'm looking for. But now, we're saying that that would be hunting. So do I not tell her I'm looking?" "Oh, no, you do. If the purpose of networking is to know people, I hope she'll want to know how you're thinking about your future. And I hope you'll be interested in hers." "Oh," she said, "I hadn't been thinking about her talking and me listening. I'd only thought of me talking and her listening. Oh, well, that changes everything, doesn't it? If I'm going to listen to her, that makes it a conversation. That doesn't feel like networking at all. Okay, I can do this." And then her head gave a shudder. "Ooh, the initial outreach will be hard. I'll do it, but it'll be hard." I said, "I completely understand that feeling. Can I tell you a story about it?" "Will it make me feel better?" she asked.
"I think so, yes."
"Then go ahead," she said. I said, "I have two daughters. They're both grown women now. Both are adopted. And in both cases,
Their mother and I committed to finding our own birth mothers, and that is a hard hill to climb. The very first lawyer that we ever talked to about finding a birth mother told us this story, and I've never forgotten it. She said to us, "Your baby is out there. You don't know where, but your baby is out there, and someone knows where it is. So you have to tell everyone you're looking for a baby because you don't know who has your baby." And then she told us about a client of hers who was standing on her porch one day chatting with her mail carrier. She mentions they're looking to adopt, and the mail carrier says, "There's a couple next door to me and my wife. Their 16-year-old is pregnant, and I don't think they're keeping that baby." And sure enough, that was their baby, from telling the mail carrier, because you never know who has your baby. She said, "I like that. That's encouraging. So every time I don't reach out to someone, I'm missing an opportunity." I nodded in agreement, because you don't know who has your baby. She asked, "And in my case, my baby is what? Just the relationship itself?" "Should there be more?" I asked. She laughed, "Well, I suppose not." "Because the purpose," I said, "is just to know people, right? Have a conversation, have a relationship." She said, "I get it." "Well, I'm getting it." I said, "If you're shy about making an ask, here's something I'll do sometimes. Suppose my ask is to make connections in some company. When I network with people, I will tell them my ask, but I will then ask them if there's anyone they think I should talk with who could help me. I'm not putting them on the spot asking them if they'll do it. I'm asking who in their network they might connect me to. And if they give me an introduction, no matter what happens, it grows the number of people I know, and that's a win." She nodded. "I hear how that could be helpful, but I've got a bigger question. Suppose I'm having a network conversation, right? I'm getting to know someone. I don't want to put a target on them, but I want to be sure they really hear what I'm looking for. I can't picture what that would sound like." That part of my conversation with Pavni about networking is next month's episode of The Look and Sound of Leadership. I want to confess my bias about networking. I think networking is one of the best things you can do for your career. If you have a strong network, things will happen for you that will not happen for others. Job opportunities will happen because of people you know. Invitations to join projects will happen because of people you know. Meeting people who can help you will happen because of people you know. I believe that. That is my bias. So I want all of you to be fantastic, joyous networkers because good things will happen for you. So in this part of the show, I'm going to call out two specific networking tools. I'm going to tell you a story about one of them. Here we go. Networking tool number one, this is an idea, a way of thinking. Networking is part of my job. My performance is subpar if I don't network. Networking is what I expect of myself. During the episode, I said to Pavni, "Make networking 5% of your work week." You know, I think that's a great way to think of it. It's just on your to-do list every week. I wonder, how would you think about networking if it really were on your calendar once a week? How would it change what you do? I'll bet one thing would happen. I bet you'd get good at it. You know, you do anything every week and you're going to get good at it over time, right? So the first tool, adopt the belief networking is part of my job. And just like every other part of my job, I'll learn more about it as I go. I'll get better at it over time. So just get started. Networking is part of my job. Here's networking tool number two. This is about the purpose. The purpose of networking is to know people. Why? Because jobs and projects and people who can help you will show up when you know people. Knowing people takes time. It takes effort. It means you have to show up. How might you do that? Some people show up in their alumni societies. Some people show up in professional associations or book clubs or volunteer work. Look, I volunteered for a professional association. I still do. It's just networking. When you show up, when you take the time to know people, When it comes time for you to have an ask, it is so much easier. This is planting, not hunting. You dig your well before you're thirsty, to quote Harvey McKay. So that's number two. Know people. Plant, don't hunt. And the story I'm going to tell you is about this exactly. It's about why the purpose of networking is just knowing people. This is a story from when I was a fairly new consultant, and I will tell it to you right after this month's gratitude. Gratitude this month to Dr. Sam Humphrey. Unbeknownst to me, she had been a longtime loyal member of this listening community. And also unbeknownst to me, Sam is an executive coach of very high standing in the UK. Sam created a podcast called Coaching Stories to go along with her book of the same name. In the podcast, she invites heavy-hitting coaches with these amazing pedigrees onto the show, and she asks them to tell two stories. One is a flow story, and one is a fall story. And I do not mean fall like the season. I mean fall like in falling down. I've listened to every episode. They've been fascinating. I've learned something from each one, and listening to Sam is great. She is engaged and smart and a fantastic listener. And now I am grateful to say I am in her library. Sam invited me on the show. We had a very meaningful conversation. The two stories I told, I would just never have told anywhere else. They were both really meaningful to me. I would love to share them with you. The episode just went live. I'd love to know what you think about it. Sam, much gratitude. The link is in the show notes, everyone. Another piece of gratitude, this one is also coach-directed. Gratitude to the coaches who have been showing up at the Executive Coaching Special Interest Group. It is a wonderful online learning community sponsored by ICF Los Angeles. We meet six times a year. If you're a coach, you can get credit for it. And talk about networking. Oh my gosh, I have met amazing people at the Special Interest Group. So the link is in the show notes. Come join us. Gratitude this month to rsparrow128, who posted a review saying this show is one of their go-to shows. Thank you. Every review helps keep the show growing. I am so grateful. Keep them coming. Okay, here's my networking story about getting to know people, making the ask easier. So this takes place more than 30 years ago. I am transitioning into this world of training and coaching, and I'm supporting myself mostly as an actor, but I can see those wages are declining, and I need to make up the income. You know, I had a house in Los Angeles, I had a kid, I needed work. After a lot of searching, I find this thing called corporate training, and within the big umbrella of corporate training is this thing called presentation skills training. That was something I knew I was good at. I knew how to coax performances out of people. So I start networking. I take people to breakfast and I let them know I want to work as a corporate presentation skills trainer. And three different people tell me I have to join a professional organization called ASTD, the American Society for Training and Development. It was a bunch of professional trainers and I joined. And within a year, I had been invited onto the board. And I didn't know anything about training yet, but I already had had a career. I knew how to show up. I knew how to work hard. I knew how to be part of a team. You know, that was one reason why I loved working in the theater. It was always about the team. And at that time, ASTD really was about the team. So here I am. I'm in my second year on the board. And by now I've gotten some work, not enough, but you know, I'm not wet behind the ears anymore as a trainer. So one night, it's about 9 o'clock at night, I am in the basement of a conference center, stuffing swag bags for a conference in the morning. And one of the other board members is there too. It's a woman named Lorraine Wilmoth. In the board meetings, I had really admired her. She was smart and articulate. She was always focused on solutions. I thought she was great. And also, I just happened to know Lorraine worked for a company that sold big training packages. She was their head of sales. So it's 9 o'clock at night. We're talking, we're stuffing, we're talking, we're stuffing. And at one point, she says to me, "By the way, what do you do?" And I say, "I do presentation skills." And she freezes and her eyes go wide and she goes, "Oh man, do I need you." And that was it. I ended up working on and off for Lorraine for 7 years. She put me to work in huge corporations I could never have gotten into on my own. I learned so much, and she paid me, which was part of what I'd been looking for. I got the work because we had taken the time to know each other. I didn't have to make an ask. Nothing could have been easier. Listening to that story now, one of the things that surprises me and I think about is that after 2 years, she didn't know what I did. There's a part of me that goes, that's perfect networking. That's just getting to know people. I never had to make an ask. She was completely on board the instant she knew what I did. She was sold. There's another part of me that thinks back to, like, conquering people-pleasing. That episode, like, maybe I could have spoken up sooner and advocated for myself. Because, look, she needed me. Either way, it was planting, not hunting. I built relationships. In our episode library, there is an entire category called relationship building. It's important to the look and sound of leadership. If you browse through that category, you will see many episodes that are going to help you know people. 5 specific episodes that I think will help your networking skills: The Art of Chat, Elevator Speeches, Mastering Nerves, Mentoring and Mentors, and Networking. Yes, there's an episode called Networking. All the links are in the show notes. All right, that's it for me. Until next time, I'm Tom Henschel. Thanks so much for listening.